Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
This is another podcast of Worldwide Wave, the international LGBT news and current affairs show, every week on Australia's first LGBT radio station, Joy 94.9.
Surfing the globe, bringing you news, views, and current affairs for the LGBT community. This is the Worldwide Wave.
This is Worldwide Wave, Joy's international news and current affairs show for and by the LGBTI community. Taking you around the globe, one queer story at a time. I'm Matt, and we are back presenting remotely to bring you the LGBTIQ news of the world with the World Wide Wave panel tonight of Stefan.
Good evening.
And Shannon.
Hi, everybody. Pride has always been about visibility, whether it's to raise visibility in places where LGBT people are hidden or to celebrate the community to what it has become today. Pride is a global movement. In most cases, Pride events were born out of protest. In some places, it's now more of a party.
But at what point does profit become more important than Pride? There is a global counter-movement to reclaim Pride from the commercial interest and bring it back to its grassroots protest origins. And Manchester is the latest city where there is a division over what Pride means today. John Proctor organised a protest march at Manchester Pride in the UK to make his point. Here's a taste of what's coming up tonight.
To say that you don't have enough money for LGBT charities when you've spent £150,000 on PR and marketing, for a lot of people, I think, felt, you know, betrayed by that, quite frankly. So there's been a lot of frustration and anger in the community with them. And it's really that's led up to the protest that happened on Saturday.
Receive LGBT news from around the world throughout the week. Like Worldwide Wave on Facebook now.
There is a movement in the air, and it's a movement to change back to the way things were. Well, it is a movement to reclaim Pride, to bring it back to its protest roots. In the UK city of Manchester, 1,500 people took to the streets in support of change. John Proctor believes Manchester Pride has moved too far away from its roots, and he believes the community shares this view. He organised a protest march during the cancelled Manchester Pride to influence the Board of Trustees at Manchester Pride to review their priorities. We ask John how this protest movement began.
Well, I'm not a Manchester native. I moved up from down south about three years ago, so I was living the other end of the country. And I started coming to Manchester because one of my best friends moved up here. So I was kind of coming up to see him fairly regularly and kind of fell in love with the place and the people and ended up eventually moving here. You know, obviously, I kind of got involved with the gay scene and the gay community up here and LGBT events in Manchester. And obviously, Pride's the kind of big one of those. And for the last few years, a few friends and I have kind of been a bit uneasy about how corporate Manchester Pride has become and how they've been handling some of the events and things around it. And really, this year, that's kind of came to a point where I felt I needed to do something about it and organise a protest. And what started off was just going to be kind of me and a few friends walking around town has actually turned into something quite big. So what's kind of led to that specifically is that it kind of started off a couple of months ago when Manchester Pride announced that they were cancelling the parade, citing COVID regulations, and they were going to do a couple of smaller equality marches, but they were still very happy to organise the ticketed for paid event and a few friends and I kind of felt that was not the right decision. So it was that that was kind of initially started me thinking about getting a protest together. And then subsequently it kind of came out that Manchester Pride were withdrawing funding from two of the big LGBT charities in Manchester, the LGBT Foundation, who provide a range of services to LGBT people. They provide support, safer sex packs, support for trans people, and they, you know, they do direct work supporting people. And also from the George House Trust, who are a charity who support people living with HIV/AIDS. And for a lot of us, that's very personal. You know, I've used services of LGBT Foundation. I've had a friend who was in crisis a few years ago and used the George House Trust. So, you know, this is very personal to people. And we a lot of people felt that it was really the wrong thing for Manchester Pride to be doing, to withdraw funding from them. You know, they're a multi-million pound event, and their CEO earns £100,000 a year. And to say that you don't have enough money for LGBT charities when you've spent £150,000 on PR and marketing, you know, for a lot of people, I think felt, you know, betrayed by that, quite frankly. So there's been a lot of frustration and anger in the community with them. And it's really that's led up to the protest that happened on Saturday. And, you know, on top of that, there's kind of other issues with the village being gated off. So the village, the gay village, is Manchester's kind of main gay area, known as Canal Street and the kind of area around it. And at Pride, it's kind of gated off with access. And there's been problems with security guards not allowing people through, despite it being a kind of public right of way. And, you know, what does this tell young people, and what does it say about our community when you can't get into the heart of the LGBT community over Pride without a wristband? So yeah, those things and kind of more are really what led to the protest on Saturday.
What do you think of it being, because you've talked about kind of like this commodification and like commercialization of Pride. So what do you think is the biggest issues with that happening?
I think from Manchester's perspective, there's two big issues. There's a very big focus on the festival, and a lot of money goes into making that happen. And as I say, I think it's problematic to invest that much money and to not put it into charity and into the community. And, you know, there's very big corporate sponsors around this. And I think more questions need to be asked of those corporate sponsors in terms of, you know, what are they delivering for Pride and what are they delivering for the community? You know, one of the sponsors for Manchester Pride is Virgin Atlantic. And in the UK, they're involved with deporting refugees. And obviously that includes deporting LGBT people who haven't had their asylum applications approved. So, you know, that's really problematic. What are they doing? What are they doing supporting Pride when they're one of the people who are kicking some of the most vulnerable people in our community out of the country, back to where they're going to be harmed or even killed? But also, I think the other problem with big companies in Pride is that a lot of people feel that it pushes them out and it pushes the community out. You know, until this year, the parade has been led for many years by large companies and big floats. And if people want to walk in the parade, they have to apply for limited wristbands through a limited number of community groups. And, you know, that's really wrong. Pride isn't about companies. It's about all of us. It's about the entire community and the diversity of our community. And if there are going to be companies, and if they are going to be there at Pride, they should be there in the supporting role. They should be, you know, at the back of the parades. They should be providing financial support for the community groups so that they can have nice big floats. They shouldn't be the ones leading it, I think. That's my personal opinion on that. You know, a lot of people felt that the protest on Saturday took Pride back to what they wanted it to be and how they wanted it to feel, that community feeling of being together and being supported and being there for each other.
John Proctor, organiser of a protest march at Manchester Pride in the UK, with us on Joy 94.9. John is seeking to bring Pride back to what it used to be, the origins of Pride. There seems to be lots of issues there, but certainly that idea, which we've heard a few times from guests about bringing Prides back to their roots of protest.
Yeah, I mean, he also had like more, I guess, specific complaints about the one that was happening in Manchester, but there was this general theme, yeah, of like trying to bring it more back to what it was and the changes that have been happening, especially since COVID.
And we should remember here that prides around the world have had all sorts of challenges these last couple of years with cancellations and trying to, you know, they're losing massive sources of income to run themselves when they don't stage these events.
And also, I mean, these sponsorships sometimes are the only reason why these events are able to be put on. So there's really a fine balance between the, because I think John was saying that it is a multi-million pound event, but it don't make a lot of money for the organizer though, because a lot of, I mean, especially in the UK, they don't, or they tended not to make you pay entrance to parks. I mean, the same in, we've seen in Melbourne, midsummer, you don't pay to get in. So it actually costs a lot of money. It also relies on donation. So this balance between the commercial things that are supporting a lot of the time, the viability of these things, but then when it takes over, that's when the issues arise.
I guess I was also right, one of his like major complaints that the gay precinct is being gated off and that, you know, they're not giving LGBT people access to a place where they regularly go each week during this especially important week for people in the queer community. So I guess that is like one of the like bones of contention there.
Yeah, so that's one of those specific issues for Manchester. Again, for ticketed events, it's not unusual for, you know, areas to be gated off, but to gate off, I guess, the centre of the LGBT community, it's quite unusual. I haven't seen that happen before.
It's done in the UK because when I lived in Brighton, they used to gate off that area, you know, where all the gay pubs are. And but I don't know that you had, I think it was to show proof of age because there was, you know, stalls outside. But I don't know that you had to pay. I can't actually remember. But I've seen it's been gated off before there.
One of the other issues that he raised there was around where they used to provide money to charities there, which they are now withdrawing that support. But at the same time, the CEO's got a pay rise and is on, you know, seemingly quite a significant amount. It's hard for us to judge whether that's a unreasonable amount, depending on what they're delivering. But it's the wrong message to send if you're pulling out of a charity and putting money into a CEO's pocket.
Well, I think it becomes this thing like, well, what's the purpose behind it? Is it to support the community or is it to actually, you know, self-supporting? The money just goes to support the CEO and the people running the event and nothing is getting back to the community. Now, I think that's a very genuine point that's very disappointing that they've withdrawn this support that probably made a difference to people's life as well as the parade can make a difference to people's lives.
Coming up, we find out just how far and wide this movement to reclaim Pride is travelling. You're listening to World Wide Wave on Joy 94.9.
This is Georgi Tabagari from Tbilisi Pride on World Wide Wave, Joy 94.9.
Even though we are broadcasting outside the studios at the moment, you can still message us on Facebook. Search World Wide Wave, or we've got a little shortcut, which is W3Joy. Not only can you message us, but if you follow us, we can send you stories of LGBT life around the globe right throughout the week.
Joy 94.9.
The issue of what Pride means today as compared to previously has been bubbling along for many years in many countries. And depending on where countries are at in terms of their progress on LGBTIQ rights, Prides do need to be different. In our recent interview with iconic LGBT rights activist Peter Tatchell, he spoke passionately in support of the Reclaim Pride movement in many places where LGBT rights are advanced. This is an issue that is not going away, and it's an issue that does not have a simple answer. we spoke to John Proctor, who organised the recent Pride and protest march in Manchester, and asked him where he thought this movement was coming from.
In some ways, it's an element of showing how things have progressed. You know, the fact that companies now want to be seen with us, whereas 10, 20 years ago, they were hesitant or wouldn't dare to. So, you know, there is an element of progress in that, and of, you know, that being a positive thing. But as I say, I think it's important, if companies are going to be involved in Pride, that it's in a genuine way and that they are genuine allies, and it's not this kind of performative thing where they, you know, have a big float, wave and cheer, and then kind of go back to doing business and chucking people out the country. That's not Pride. Yeah, I don't know if that entirely answers your question. I think some of it's progress, but I think those organising Pride need to put the community first rather than putting companies and corporate sponsors first.
And how important is it, do you think, that we get back to these Pride marches being more of a protest and kind of using them to kind of say what the current issues are in the queer community, than just solely kind of this celebratory day?
I think there's room for both, and I think the energy and the kind of feeling we had at the protest, it encapsulated that. You know, people were, yes, frustrated about Manchester Pride. You know, we had, you know, 1,500 people marching through the streets of Manchester, and that's probably the biggest LGBT protest since the Section 28 protests in the early 2000s. So that's huge. But it had a positive energy to it. You know, it wasn't just the frustration with Manchester Pride. It was that feeling of community, that feeling of being together. And it was also, you know, those 1,500 people shouting through the city centre, trans rights are human rights. And, you know, we acknowledge that there's still a long way to go, particularly for trans people in the UK, but also around things like conversion therapy being banned. You know, that still hasn't happened despite the government promising it. And, you know, I think it's important to celebrate where we've come from as well, you know, remembering those who fought and struggled and even died for the rights we've had today, and to celebrate the struggle that every LGBT person goes through when they question their identity and come out the other side of that. So I think there's room in protest for all of those things, and that's really important.
And what do you think are the most important issues for queer people in the UK at the moment that the Pride marches aren't really addressing?
Yeah, I mean, in the UK, the media has become increasingly hostile towards trans people, and the government has not delivered on gender recognition reform, which they did a consultation on a few years ago and were saying that there was going to be change. I think trans people need the support of the LGBT community. You know, we go through similar struggles around questioning our identity, as I've said, and I think it's important that we stand with trans people. And as I say, I think the other thing is around conversion therapy. You know, the government's been promising to ban that, and they haven't. And, you know, there's how many debates do you need on something? How many consultations do you need to have before you do it? And I think the other key thing is solidarity with other people around the world. You know, I mentioned in relation to Afghanistan, but, you know, there's many countries, particularly where Britain was involved in the past, that have terrible records on LGBT rights now. And I think it's important that we stand with all of those people across the world.
And what specific changes would you like to see happen in the kind of official Pride parade?
I think there's a number of ways that Pride could change to be more inclusive of the community. Manchester Pride have promised a review in the autumn. I think it's really important that review is wide and open and engages the community in a meaningful way. I think the CEO, Mark Fletcher, probably needs to resign. He lied on radio a couple of weeks ago saying that there were plans in place with charities when there weren't, and he defended a £20,000 pay rise. And I think the community has lost trust in him. And I think the Board of Trustees need to consider their position and need to consider what they're doing and need to really listen to the strength of feeling in the community. For me personally, I'd like to see the community at the centre of the Pride Parade. I think it's shown that this week that means a great deal to people and is very important. And personally, I would like to see the gates on the village come down over Pride. I recognise they might need roadblocks for safety, but I would like the council and others to be much more creative about how they use the city centre and possibly give more of the city centre over to Pride and to the village that day to allow more people to be there and to access the city freely without having barriers.
From the UK, that's Manchester protest organiser John Proctor on Joy 94.9. We're talking about allies who are sponsoring the big companies who are putting money into run prides, and without those sponsors that many of these events wouldn't go ahead. But how genuine those allies are, you know, there are lots of companies who show their pride colours in pride season and then you don't hear anything else throughout the year. I mean, how would we police which companies are the ones who are actually supporting the community?
Isn't that what Stonewall tried to do with having some kind of, you know, not a ward, I can't think of the words, to endorse some companies.
Like an accreditation, a prize.
Yeah, that's right, accreditation, where if you have the policy, if you actually year-long display all these attributes that makes you LGBTIQ-friendly and a positive employer, a positive company, which makes a difference, you can then be endorsed or have this accreditation. There's something similar in Australia.
Yeah, there's the Pride and Diversity ratings, but it's not necessarily tied to whether you can march in Melbourne Pride or Sydney Gay and Lesbian Mardi Gras.
I mean, you see around that time of year, right? Like you see like rainbow stuff just all over the place. And it's kind of hard to say like either, well, stop doing that, you know, like I don't want to see a rainbow near your store. Or like then it's also very hard to like throughout the year be policing whether or not these companies are like living up to what they say during Pride Month that they are trying to do.
And the whole thing is a balancing act, even for the organisers. You know, they need to find that balance between, I mean, John was certainly saying they need to put the community first, but they need to find that balance between making sure it is a community event supported by a sponsor, not a sponsor's event that, you know, has some community benefit.
Yeah, and I think that's a good way of putting it. It just reminded me of the way, you know, I think in the last march in Sydney, where there was this controversy about having the police there.
Yes.
So it is interesting to see. I mean, I don't know that we're going to be able to please everybody.
With a community as diverse as ours, we're not going to make sure everybody's happy. But, I mean, does it serve the purpose for which it is there? This seems to be a, let's call it a first world problem. Countries where there are advanced rights, which are getting, you know, big sponsors, that's where the problem is. It's not as much of a problem for countries that don't have rights, who it is very much a protest.
And is it also an issue of with forgetting the history, where it comes from, and for the people, which is completely normal, you know, that as we evolve and these issues are not there anymore, you know, it's not something that they've gone through, so they've not known that. And maybe it is trying to remind people of the purpose and why we've got this.
I suppose also, you know, we do talk to so many people where something I really get told a lot, or I hear a lot from the people that we interview, is to not take the current rights that we have for granted, that it can backslide, progress can backslide very easily if you don't constantly like keep and trying to move it forward. So I guess that is right, like another way that to keep it as a protest might be important to remember that, yeah, we have gotten really far, but like that isn't for good, it's not permanent unless we keep pushing.
Yes, there is still definitely more to fight for. And coming up on Joy 94.9, we hear how Manchester Pride has responded to the protests. This is World Wide Wave.
Joy 94.9. Kia ora, my name is Tatriana, and I'm from the Cook Islands LGBT organization, Bitsyere Association, on the World Wide Web.
And you're listening to World Wide Web, the show that takes you around the globe one queer story at a time. A special hello to everybody that is listening to us on the podcast. You can subscribe to receive our podcast automatically, either at joy.org.au/worldwidewave or iTunes, Spotify, or your favorite podcast platform. And don't forget to leave us a review.
We are talking all things Pride tonight. And of course, one very easy way that you can show your pride is to join Joy, take out a Joy membership, become a part of our wonderful Rainbow family as we move forward in the Victorian Pride Centre. So it's as simple as going to joy.org.au and click on the membership button. We'd love to have you a part of our family.
Joy 94.9.
The UK city of Manchester is known for its vibrant LGBT scene. It was even made famous in the TV series Queer as Folk. But all is not rainbows and glitter in Manchester at the moment. The Pride Parade was cancelled. The Pride organisation ceased funding to community groups it has supported for years, and yet the CEO has received a pay rise. It has some in the community up in arms, saying that Pride has become too commercial and moved too far away from its community roots. John Proctor wanted to make his feelings known. From raising his feelings with friends, it soon turned into a protest street march with 1,500 people. The protest now over, we asked John what happens next.
Yeah, I mean, that's an interesting one. I think first and foremost, I think probably some rest and a little bit of recovery time. You know, this protest was much bigger than I ever anticipated. We, you know, as I say, it started off with the idea of having a few friends. And when I was speaking to the police and council beforehand, a couple of weeks before, we were expecting maybe 200 people. And, you know, we turned out getting 1,500 people, which is amazing. But yeah, I think a little time to recover from that. I think, as I say, for me, it's really important that if with that review that the community are involved in that and it's in a meaningful way. And I'm very happy to try and help support that and help engage with the LGBT Foundation and George House Trust to try and help make sure that happens. But I think after the media coverage that we've got over this, the ball really is in Manchester Pride's court to prove that they've listened and to show that they're going to make real meaningful change. But, you know, we're going to keep watching. And I think the community has expectations around change now, and it's going to be up to them to deliver that.
I just want to speak a bit more about like the lead up to it. So like when did you guys kind of make this decision that you thought a Pride protest would be necessary, and kind of how long did you spend on planning it, on you know, getting ready for it, you know?
It really wasn't that long ago that we started organizing the protest, really. It was probably July-ish, I guess. So as I say, it just kind of escalated and took on its own life from being a group of friends. And, you know, I kind of realized that there was enough interest from kind of wider circles of friends that I was going to have to talk to the police and council about it. So I did the paperwork to raise the request with the police. I set up a Twitter account, and then it just kind of took off. So really it was organized in a very, very short space of time. And I've had some, brilliant support from my partner, who's been looking after me while I've been running around doing all of this. A good friend of mine, Alistair, was, coordinated the marshals on the day, and a load of my friends helped out as marshals and helped out with managing the traffic on the day. So, you know, it's really been a case of people pulling together in a very short space of time, really, to make this happen.
And is this something that you hope other places and other cities in the UK and other countries kind of take on board? They too could do their own protest if they don't think that the official one is living up to what they want?
It's already happening. You know, I think as you've said, you know, there's similar issues in similar prides. In the UK, there's Reclaim Pride Liverpool, there's Reclaim Pride Brighton. You know, there's people there with kind of similar kinds of frustrations. And, you know, we're kind of talking on Twitter to each other and in contact. You know, and we weren't the only protest in Manchester, in fact. There was another one held the week before, and another group were at the gates of Pride raising money and handing out alternative wristbands. And we've been in very close contact all the way through and kind of talking to each other on Twitter. So, you know, there's already a kind of broader community movement building around this. And I'm aware, I can't remember where in Canada, but I think there's a Reclaim Pride in Canada somewhere as well. So, yeah, I think a lot, as you say, you know, there's similar frustrations from similar corporate prides around the world. So I think it's a good thing for people to have their voice heard. And, you know, Pride is for the whole community. It's not just for everyone. And I think those running it really need to pay attention to that.
Reclaiming Pride in Manchester, that's protest organiser John Proctor with us on Joy 94.9. Now, we should point out here that Manchester Pride has released a number of statements. Their CEO says, like many charities, we have had to take some tough decisions as we focus on recovering. And we've already pointed that out in the show. Manchester Council says that they are willing to ensure or work with whoever they need to ensure the continued survival of one of the charities that are supported that provides safer sex packs. And the Chair of Trustees has said, we are keen to continue supporting the vital work of the LGBT Foundation and George House Trust. And even though they didn't run last year, they gave both £10,000 as a donation. So lots happening just in Manchester. But while there's specific things to Manchester, we've got this broader argument going on about what is Pride in 2021.
And maybe we need the sponsorship because people in the community, I mean, either can't afford to keep it going, or there's less there's less wish to give to support this thing because of the rights we have. So it's hard. It's a really hard, difficult issue because you need money for this thing to work, and we see that with Midsummer. And some of these companies are willing to give the money.
But they want something in return.
Of course. But
I think it's finding that balance. So it did surprise me when he said that the sponsors lead their parade. That really surprised me.
Yes, it is. And I mean, and I think the issue about the airline deporting people back to countries and being a prominent sponsor, I think it's a massive issue as well.
I mean, there was a lot of issues in the US with that, not about like the LGBT people, but when they had a lot about the locking the children up, separating from their parents. There was a lot of protesting airlines that were willing to fly kids from one state to another. So it's not like that's like not something that we have, like people haven't like protested before in other ways. I mean, look, they have a board. Maybe it's more about also like creating a more stringent line of things that companies have to kind of show that they've done. Because, I mean, they do clearly want to be a part of the parade, right? Like, they do want to be seen as being pro-LGBT, especially in these countries.
Let's perhaps turn our eyes to what this might mean here in Australia, because Mardi Gras gets very big-name mainstream sponsors. And one of the benefits of those sponsors, aside from, you know, whatever cash or contribution they make to ensure that Mardi Gras as a season goes ahead, it also allows employees for those companies to participate, to march in Mardi Gras.
I mean, why is that good? Do you think there wouldn't be this visibility if the companies didn't promote it? Do you think it would be more difficult for the people working for these companies to take part if there wasn't this X company sponsoring?
I think Mardi Gras would be very different today if we didn't have the sponsors, because those you know, that the quality of floats, the number of floats, all that would be lesser as it was when Mardi Gras first began, but it has evolved.
Yeah.
As you can tell, even here in Australia, that this argument goes on about what Pride should be.
Hi, everyone. This is Imani da Silva, a transgender activist from Angola on the Worldwide Wave.
A huge thank you tonight to John Proctor, organiser of a protest march to reclaim Pride in the UK city of Manchester.
And thank you so much for those who have got in contact with us on Facebook, Richard, Betty, Helen, Marta, and so many others who have joined or interacted with us this past week. That's W3Joy on Facebook.
Our wonderful behind-the-scenes team, our podcaster Peter and social media master Dean, thank you so much.
Thanks for listening to another podcast from World Wide Wave, the show that takes you around the globe one country at a time. World Wide Wave is the international news and current affairs show on Australia's LGBT radio station Joy 94.9. You can listen live every Tuesday night from 7 p.m. Eastern Australian Time on 94.9 FM in Melbourne and online at joy.org.au. You'll find all our podcasts at joy.org.au/worldwidewave or follow us on Facebook for the latest international LGBT news. Search W3Joy on Facebook now.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.